The podcast you're about to listen to is explicit. It's for consenting adults only. It's graphic. We're going to talk dirty. There you go. Thanks.
All of my life, I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie Delatour, and this is episode 109. It's February, y'all. It's winter. Here in San Francisco, it's dark and gloomy, and it's so cold that I had to sit here trying to warm myself up for the longest time so that my teeth didn't chatter while I talked to you this week. I thought maybe I'd try and find a story to share with you that would make your week a little bit better. This story does not relate to sex, but it does relate to storytelling. There is a woman in Chicago named Shannon Downey. She's queer. She's a feminist. She teaches crafting classes. She teaches people how to cross stitch. She has a company called Badass Cross Stitch. All that cool stuff you've seen. No fucks given. Feminist as fuck. Fight the patriarchy. That sort of thing. She teaches people how to make art to put on their wall to inspire them. Back at the end of 2019, Shannon was going to an estate sale in Chicago. She walked into a house looking around at things, and she saw this embroidered 50 states piece of art on the wall. It was beautiful, and it was marked something like $5, something that had taken hundreds of hours for the woman who created it to stitch was going for nothing. And that's something Shannon's passionate about. She bought that piece of art off the wall. And as she traveled through the rest of the estate sale, she found in the bedroom a piece of Tupperware that had a quilt and stitching pieces inside it. She looked inside. One piece had been stitched. One piece was finished. And the other 49 states were just sitting there waiting to be worked on. She asked about the woman's story and found out that the woman whose art this was had died at the age of 99. And she thought, this woman will never rest with this project just sitting here, probably cast into somebody's garage or never completed. So she bought that Tupperware full of those pieces of the 50 states with the one state that was finished by Rita. And she came home with it and looked at it and got on Instagram and said, I don't know how to quilt. I don't know how long it would take me to finish this, but I feel like Rita's work needs to be completed. Would anybody like to help me? And she got hundreds of people who said, send me North Carolina. Send me Arizona. I want to help. And together they started working on Rita's project. And people finished their states. They sent them back. She found someone who understood quilting. They had to reconfigure this quilt pattern because obviously Rita's 50 states, the thing that had been hanging on the wall that she herself completed, needed to be the centerpiece of this quilt. And together, hundreds of people made this project come to life. It took a lot of work all over the country. And they finished it. And it was the feel-good story at the end of 2019. Everybody was inspired. I saw it everywhere. I saw it on CNN. I saw it on NPR. I saw it on Kelly Clarkson. And you got to see the actual completed quilt. I was just so moved by this story. It was such a big story of people coming together to try and complete this woman's legacy to help Rita rest well. Here's the part of the story that is the continuation that happened afterwards. Shannon Downey is now planning on hitting the road in an RV, and she's going to be taking Rita's quilt around the country for people to look at it, because it's not just a piece of fabric, it's a story. She's going to be traveling all over the country. She's going to be teaching the workshops that she teaches. She's going to be in an RV with her two dogs. I love RVs. I love dogs. And I love stories. So I wanted to share that story with you. She's got a GoFundMe right now to help her buy the RV and to fill it with gas and the other things that she needs to take her life on the road. You can find it on GoFundMe. I'm going to put links in the show notes for this. You can see her art at shannondowney.com, badasscrossstitch.com, and she also has a site called Seriously Badass Women, where you can read inspiring tales from women. Check it out. I find this story is something that's developing right now. If you fund her GoFundMe, or if you tell her how much her work inspires you to change the world, you know, write her and let her know that you're inspired by what she does. Let her inspire you to do something that's going to change the world too. I think it's so easy right now to believe that just us, we don't matter. But these people coming together, hundreds of people coming together to complete this project that is now going to travel the country and end up in a museum eventually, it's inspiring. And it was all because she felt drawn to somebody that she didn't know and wanted to make the world better. I think we can all try and do that in our own little way. I'm not into cross-stitch or embroidery. I make the world better with stories. Whatever your skill set is, work on that. Let's just think about how we can change the world this week in our own little way. Lube is the key to maximizing pleasure, whether alone or with a partner. And if you're going to lubricate, you want to make sure it's done with high quality, body safe ingredients. And when it comes to lube, nothing beats UberLube. UberLube is a luxurious, high-grade silicone lubricant made from clean, body-safe ingredients. And since lube is supposed to enhance touch, not overpower it, UberLube provides just the right amount of slip while still allowing for skin-on-skin sensations. UberLube's measured pumps allow you to dispense the perfect amount of product every time, even in the dark. And it's great for all kinds of play, vaginal, oral, or anal. UberLube is latex compatible, so it's safe and effective to use with condoms. UberLube offers long-lasting performance when you want it, then quickly dissipates without leaving a sticky residue. It feels like a nice moisturizer when you're finished, and there's no flavor or scent. UberLube will not stain clothing or bedding. Any spills can be easily cleaned with detergent and water. And UberLube works underwater, making it great for fun in pools, lakes, and tubs. Just think of the possibilities. That's why I love this stuff so much. And right now, UberLube is offering Body Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use the code DIXIE at UberLube.com. I love this lube, and I think you will too. UberLube lets you feel what you want to feel. So go to uberlube.com right now and use the code Dixie for 10% off and free shipping. Our storyteller this week is one of my favorite human beings in the world. I've known her for about a decade through the San Francisco Bay Area storytelling scene. And back in the early days, she threw a storytelling party in her living room and I showed up, and she was pretty flummoxed I was in her house. I mean, I do a slightly different kind of storytelling. But we talked about it, the fact that we both love stories more than anything else, and we've become really good friends over the years. So let me tell you about Mosa. When Mosa Maxwell Smith first discovered storytelling, she craved it so much that she started hosting story parties with friends in her living room. That was 2011, before the moth was even in the Bay Area. She is elated by the explosion of storytelling as an art form and connector of humans over the last decade, and has been privileged to perform regularly at a variety of venues, including Story Slam Oakland, the Mill Valley Library, and, always a favorite, Body Storytelling. She also tells stories on a daily basis in her role as a preschool teacher, though the content is usually slightly different and the audiences are smaller. Mosa is a devotee of connection and serendipity and is grateful to Dixie De La Torre for bringing more of both to her life through the gift of body. She is delighted to be out past bedtime on a school night telling her story to someone other than her cats. That was part of her introduction for this stage. This storyteller is Mosa Maxwell Smith.
Thank you, Dixie. I'm happy to be here. I have always been an avid but ashamed pee-er. Yeah. My pee shame started early. When I went to kindergarten, I was afraid to pee at my new school, so I would just try and hold it all day long. But I was five, and I couldn't, and this pee puddle would bloom on the back of my pants every day, and finally I would let loose fully, and I was so embarrassed and ashamed. And at the same time, like all good things, kind of shameful, kind of dirty, there was this amazing feeling that would happen sometimes when I would hold my pee for too long. You guys, I Googled this today. It's actually a thing. Peegasm? Has anyone heard of this? When you're holding and holding and finally you let it go and then like a thing actually happens. Yes? Anyone? Am I alone in this?
Yeah.
Okay. And so at five, I was experiencing this sometimes, and I was like, oh, one of these. I like this one. But I did still feel very ashamed about peeing all of the time. And when, by the time I was seven, I was still feeling this, and I saw a film with my mother that was hugely impactful. It might mark my sexual awakening. It's called Never Cry Wolf. Does anyone know that? The 80s, child of the 80s. It's true. So it's a story of a scientist who goes to the Arctic to study the wolves, but he doesn't want the wolves to get in his camp. So he pees a perimeter all around his camp so that the wolves won't come in, right? And my seven-year-old self watched this movie. You guys, you can see like his ass crack off the top of his pants there. He's holding a penis with like two hands. This was very exciting to me at 7 years old. And he was just peeing. There was a whole montage of pee in this fucking Disney movie. He was all... I did not know one could feel so happy about this thing that I felt so ashamed of. It didn't change my feelings. In high school, I was still really fixated on pee, and by this time, I was trying to lose weight and cleanse, and so I spent an entire summer drinking nothing but distilled water and peeing, because distilled water, if you don't know, makes you pee more because there's no minerals in it, so it depletes you. And I was also really into Kegeling. I'm like really focused on strengthening my pelvic floor. So every time I would go to the bathroom, I would try and see how many different streams of urine would come out. It would take me like a half an hour to pee, and by the time I was done, I had to go again. It was a very exciting summer. And I remember my high school boyfriend at the time, he said to me, "Hey, what's the sexiest, like most exciting bodily function you can think of besides like orgasm, besides sex?" And I was like, oh God, I don't really like to talk about bodily functions. I just do them quietly by myself. He was like, "I think pooping is the most satisfying next to sex." And as at that point in my life, I was not even admitting that I had an asshole. Like literally somebody once asked me, "Do you have an asshole?" And I was like, "No." Who would have one of those? My God. But I remember this peeing thing was pretty satisfying, like that holding the pee for a really long time and then melting into this exciting contraction. I don't think I told him all that. I could barely like say the word penis in front of him, so that was not part of our conversation. I grew up and I took the worst possible job for somebody who has to pee frequently, the job where they lock you in a room with small children for 8 hours at a time and no possible chance of escape. I became a teacher, and my first year of teaching was extremely stressful for me. Are there any teachers here? Christmas break, almost. Ooh, Monday, I'm not going to work. And So my first year of teaching, I was really, really stressed out, and I gained like 20 pounds because I was stress eating all over the place. And by May, I was like, I've got to do something about this. I know. In addition to the copious amounts of caffeine I'm drinking to stay awake grading papers, I will take diet pills. It was a Thursday. I knew this because I had a lot of grading to do. And I was gathering all of my things. The children had left, thankfully. I got my teacher bag, my other teacher bag, my other teacher bag, my teacher lunch bag, my keys. Oh my! And there's a message in the back of my head, and I'm hearing it, and it's getting louder. Go pee. Go pee. Go pee. And I'm hearing it, and I'm doing the dance, and my mom, if she'd been in the room, she would have told me. She would have said, stop, or you have to pee. Just go. And I was like, no, I'll just, I can make it to the door. I got all my things. I made it to the door. All down the side of my wide-legged pants, all along the floor, seeping underneath the door to my classroom like blood in a horror movie. My urine was everywhere. I took off all my bags and my teacher cardigan, and I used my nice sweater to wipe up the pee, and I put it back in my bag and went home and stopped taking diet pills. And I thought this would be like the most pee urgency I would ever have in my life, thank God, but I was wrong. I got pregnant. Fuck. You guys, I used to think, I was like, oh yes, pregnant women have to pee because all that baby is like pushing down on the... No, it's not that. The minute I got pregnant, I knew I was pregnant because I had to pee. Something shifted hormonally, and I had to pee more than I've ever had to pee in my life all of the time. Anyone? Are there moms in the... Teacher mom out on a Wednesday. So exciting. So I was peeing, but I was okay with this because I was really happy. Like, the sex that got me pregnant was really good sex, like in the afternoon with simultaneous orgasms. It was like Sunset Magazine sex, you know? And I was pregnant on purpose. And my husband and I were remodeling our dream home. It was everything that Martha Stewart and I could possibly want. We were doing the kitchen and the bathrooms. And it was gorgeous, and I was so happy. And I was telling everyone how happy I was, except I wasn't telling them one thing. We were polyamorous. Let me rephrase that. He was polyamorous. I was poly don't have any boundaries. And so I was kind of not paying attention to that. And one beautiful January day, he and I went to Las Vegas for the Adult Entertainment Expo. I know, so exciting. So many naked, skinny people all over the place. And I was telling everyone about the baby, and one night he went out and he didn't come back. I stayed in the hotel room, peeing, texting, peeing, texting, crying eventually, peeing some more, texting. The sun finally came up. It was like 5 a.m. and he stumbled in and he had the most like deliriously happy look on his face. And I thought, oh, it can't have been anything horrible like I imagined. And he said, I'm falling in love with a 21-year-old furry. You guys, this was not in the book What to Expect When You're Expecting. Like, I was not expecting this. And we went home and I realized what I needed to do was lure him back. I took my fat pregnant self and I tried to lure my husband back. I took out this sex toy that I'd gotten at the Adult Entertainment Expo. It was invented by a dentist. It's a special retainer called a blowguard that covers your teeth so that you don't bite anyone when you give a blowjob. I followed him around the house wearing it and talking like this. It didn't work. And by followed, I mean kind of waddled. I had no sexy walk, and I was really wanting touch desperately. And meanwhile, he's talking to this woman, texting with her, communicating, and I just wanted to be touched. And I can't even see my vagina, let alone, like, put anything inside of it. I'm sad and lonely. And at this point, I learn what happens in Vegas doesn't always stay in Vegas. The furry decided to move to the Bay Area to be with us, to be part of our family. Yeah. And I really wanted to get along with her. I tried to, like, have something in common with someone where the only thing we actually had in common was that we were fucking the same man. Like, so I was trying to buy baby books. Like, remember Pat the Bunny? Yeah? She was dressed up like a wolf, getting fucked by a bunny vibrator by my husband. Didn't quite match up. And I knew all about this organic diaper cream called butt paste. She was making and selling butt plugs with tails so that you could be naked and still tailed. She was so much cooler than I was. I could never hope to be anything like her. And I wanted to be. And well, my husband had a problem too. I mean, as if you didn't know that. Spoiler alert. So the problem was his poor, sweet, little, fluffy girlfriend didn't want to come to our house, the dream house he and I had built to raise our family. She wouldn't get near it, and I felt bad. I wanted to help him. And then I realized something. During the construction, there hadn't been a bathroom. There had been a porta potty. If I haven't projected it already, I am hella OCD. I fucking hate porta potties. I'd rather die than use one. Thank you. That's my fetish. I am porta potty free. And so all during the construction, I peed all around the perimeter of that house. If I were a better person, I would tell you that when I realized that my peeing had kept the furry at bay, I stopped doing it. But I didn't. I peed frequently and joyously and shamelessly all around that goddamn house.
I'ma mark my territory. Shawty, I'm an animal. Slowly digging into you. Spread you like a bad story. Turn you to a criminal. Let me see you cock it back. Bang, bang, bang on it. Till the headboard break. Make me think that I wanna put a ring on you. But first I make you sing for me. And all the ladies say. Like a zipper, 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 up and down like a zipper, 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 zipper. I could be a sweet lady, or eat it like a cannibal. Go places that your man can't go. In my backseat, baby. You're smoking like some good, good. Once I hit that good, good, make me beg, beg for it. Mama taught you well, cause it ain't about the booty, but the brain, baby. Now let me hear you sing to me. And all the ladies say. Up and down like a zipper, 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 zipper. She like wearing my snapbacks. She got that snapback. So if I ever wanna leave, I'll be right back. Ooh, girl, I need it. Ooh, girl, got me fiending. You will go, girl. I'll never go, girl. Cause when you're surfing in my bed, I'll be like, go, girl. Ooh, girl, I need it. Ooh, girl. Got me feeling. I wanna ride. All aboard. I wanna ride. Up and down like a zipper, 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 zipper.
That was Zipper by Jason Derulio. I got an email this week from a listener who said, Dixie, every week I listen to you ask for help with Patreon, and people are just not donating. Why don't you just restrict your content? People can only listen to your podcast if they pay in advance. And I don't understand why you and other podcasters don't use that method. People will value things that they pay for, and you should make them pay first. Well, if big agencies like Luminary can't make that work, I think my little bitty podcast probably can't either. But more importantly, I don't want to use that model. I want to believe in the goodness of people. I want to believe that people value this podcast and they will support me if they possibly can. I appreciate all the messages I've gotten this week from people who've signed up to support me on Patreon at small levels, because I know that y'all are doing the best you can. And that's what this podcast is about. Us making the world a better place together. I hate that it has to be financial, but unfortunately, it takes hours and hours to edit this podcast each week. And those are not costs that are really recoupable other than through Patreon. So here we go. If you would go to patreon.com/body, give at whatever level you can, you're helping to keep this thing going. And you're paying it forward. You're ensuring that it's going to be out next week and the week after that. Not just for you, who loves this podcast, but for the people in the world who really need to hear it. Some of the people who need this podcast the most are people who've never been exposed to sex-positive content. They've never heard people talk about sex in a way that isn't strictly titillating and exciting. Sex is what makes us human. It's part of our lives. And we should be able to talk about all the parts of our lives. This is a place where we talk about that part. Hearing our stories on Body changes lives. I see it at the live show. I know it happens on the podcast because the people write me after they listen to the stories. I'm not sure how they find us. That's hard. But once they find us, we convert them to our way of thinking that sex is not wrong. Sex is something we should be allowed to talk about. So again, patreon.com/body. Share it with friends who would value this podcast. Give it whatever level you can. And thanks in advance for your support. You know, we have a lot of non-political holidays coming up, like Valentine's Day or Galentine's Day or Steak and Blowjob Day. And whether you're looking to boff somebody or you want to find a snuggalo, that's a gigolo who will cuddle with you for money, or you just like candy like me, I'm here for you, and so is Body Storytelling. This episode you're listening to is just a part of a live body. We have one story on this episode, but we have multiple stories at a live show. We have cocktails with fun names so you can sidle up next to somebody attractive and say, I will have a unicorn's butthole, or I will have a FetLife first date. It's a chance to start a conversation. Starting conversations is hard, but we also make it fun with Bango. Bango is a card that you can have in your hand, walk up to somebody you don't know yet, you know they're sex positive, you know they're open-minded, and you can go, how many sex toys do you own, and which one's your favorite one? That's going to lead to a story, and that's what we're about. More than that, we're about making new friends. So if you come to a live body storytelling, it's more than just these stories. So I'm going to tell you about upcoming live shows for Body in February. The Rebar Seattle has asked us to be the day of show, the exact day of their 30th anniversary. And in honor of their history, they're infamous for grunge, they're infamous for being one of the oldest queer bars in Seattle, our theme for February is going to be sex, drugs, rock and roll. That show is going to be on Wednesday. Typically we're on a Thursday, but on Wednesday, February 19th. And I hope to see you in Seattle. That show is going to sell out, so please get your tickets as soon as possible. And then on Saturday, February 22nd, it's Body's big 13th anniversary show. It's two shows, 7 p.m., we have my invited storytellers. I'm locking them down now. I'm not going to say their name till they're 100%, but you're going to know soon who's going to be performing at the 7 p.m. show. And at 10 p.m., you tell me who to put on stage. Your favorite San Francisco storytellers of last year. You get to vote for 4 storytellers. Maybe you heard them on the podcast. Maybe you saw them live. Vote for your favorite storytellers, and that voting will continue through February 15th. It's live now. You can only vote once. So click on the survey, vote for your favorite 4 storytellers, and tell me who you want to hear stories from at our big 13th anniversary Best of Body show. Both of those shows, I'm going to feature our musical muse, Rachel Lark. She's busy. She's traveling and touring all the time, but I reserved her a long time ago for this because it's just a special night, and Rachel Lark is such a part of the Body family. So, survey is up. I'll have a link in the show notes. Tickets for all of these shows and also for all upcoming shows through June are on our new website page, which is live shows. Click on live on the homepage, go there, and it's nice and organized. Marty worked really hard on that. I also want to say thank you to Good Vibes and to Babeland for providing our Bango prizes in San Francisco and Seattle. It's so much fun to unload those prizes into the winner's arms on stage as hundreds of people get to know what's going to be happening later on that night. Come to a live body and you can watch it too. It's 2020 and I think it's time we started doing things that bring us more joy. So I want to tell you about some availability that I have and what brings me joy. I love helping people tell their story. From erotic artists who are having to tell the story of how they became the artists they are today, to marine biologists, to leather title contestants. If you have something that involves public speaking or storytelling, I'd love to work with you. And I have some availability in my calendar coming up. So message me at dixie@bodystorytelling.com. Let's talk about your project. Happy to do a quick consultation with you because I love helping you find your story. I'd like to do that this year. You are going to walk off that stage feeling invincible. I've done it for women in technology. I've done it for all sorts of people. Doesn't have to be sexuality related. dixie@bodystorytelling.com. Let's start working together on that story. We're at the end, and I want to say thank you to the people who make this podcast possible. Thank you to podcast producer Marty Garcia, to sound engineer David Grossoff, to video archivist Joe Moore, and thank you to Pleasure Podcasts. Body Storytelling is a proud member of Pleasure Podcasts. I am sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. This has been episode 109. And here's a peek at what's next.
So I tie him to my bed, and he's all ready to go. I'm ready to start playing with all his bits. Now, I had a rescue cat at that time.